Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Buckets and Tea NBA show. I'm your host, Catherine Eicher. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. Our music is brought to you by Tanika Charles, courtesy of Record Kicks. Her albums Soul Run and The Gumption are available now on all streaming platforms. Today, I'm happy to announce that Buckets and Tea is officially joining the Raptors Republic. I'm so excited to be a part of it. I want to welcome all our new listeners to the show and everyone who has been with me on this journey. I started this podcast it'll be 2 years in February, right before the pandemic. Obviously, that's a perfect time to start a basketball podcast, but I powered through and here we are. So thank you to everybody. I'm very, very appreciative. So for anybody new to the show, how it works is I have a special guest every week and we start talking about the NBA first. Then we move on to our Raptors Homer moment. And then we have our hot girl summer, Nick Nurse, highlight of the week to end it off. And I will explain that when we get there. So today, my special guest, a great friend of mine, he is the host of the Confederacy of Dunks podcast. He's also a fantastic comedian and the co-host of the WNBA podcast that we do together called The Pickup. So be sure to check that out. It's Freddie Rivas. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to be here. Congratulations on being with Raptors Republic. It is amazing for them and for you.
Thank you. That's very sweet. You and I have been podcasting forever. I'm a frequent guest on your show and it's just, you know, slowly, making things happen, making some snack money, you know,
we're doing it, you know, we're grinding it out. People are, I feel like collectively understanding the grind, our grind.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Slowly.
So let's get into some NBA talk. I want to talk about the Trailblazers and Neil O'Shea. So Neil O'Shea was under investigation for inappropriate conduct, inappropriate workplace conduct. That investigation happened for most of the month of November and just concluded on Friday. We're recording this on Tuesday, December 7th, that he has been let go. Also, apparently he violated terms in his contract. So he has been let go without pay, which is a nice little detail. I didn't know. And there's reports that he might challenge that, this, that, and the other. Before we get into, I want to talk about the Blazers and where they go from here and who they should potentially trade. But I wanted to ask you, do you have any thoughts just on the Neil O'Shea firing itself?
You know what? Like, I hope this isn't too boring, but not really. I don't know too much about it. You know, I'm just reading that. Yeah. Abrasive and controlling with staffers and also made an inappropriate comment toward a female staff member, which sucks. It seems like, you know, something you should be fired for. My general assumption with owners is that they're quite often not great people. So when I hear, you know, that they were bad bosses, it generally tracks.
It sounds like everyone, well, not everyone, but it just sounds like a lot of people I've worked with in the film industry. And, but to me, it's just so great to see that like an investigation into his conduct actually took place. I want to commend the Trailblazers for actually doing that. Cause a lot of people don't, looking at you, Phoenix Suns. I just want to commend them for that. As far as the Trailblazers go now, a lot of trade rumors are happening. I think they were probably, they haven't said this, but I'm pretty sure they had to wait for this investigation to conclude before they could reignite any negotiations around trades. Like, I feel like a lot of this was probably put on pause for the last month because of this investigation, because now the Ben Simmons rumors are back and things like that. Personally, I've been saying CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons since July. Apparently they made that offer as well, but then they also wanted, I think, a total of 6 draft picks. I think it was 3 first round, 3 second round. Apologies if I have that wrong. I don't have that specifically in front of me, but I remember it was like an exorbitant amount of draft picks. And so then they said,
the Blazers wanted that, or the,
no, the Sixers wanted that for, CJ. So basically the Sixers wanted CJ McCollum and 6 draft picks. So 3 and 3, right, for Ben Simmons. And they were like, that is way too much. Like, we're not giving that much of our future away just for one player. And mm-hmm. I agree, that would be a terrible deal. So now those talks have allegedly started happening again. Now people are talking about, do they trade Damian Lillard? What do you think the Trailblazers should do?
Yeah, I feel like, I feel like I'm in, you know, I don't know if it's Ben Simmons Island or how big the territory of believers in Ben Simmons is.
Like the size of Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's an island, but it's a really big one. It's Australia. It's also like basically a continent. Yeah, I'm there. I believe in Ben Simmons. I believe in his skills. I think he can be a part of like winning basketball. I don't think that the 11 and 14 Trailblazers should trade CJ for him. That to me, I get it. You know, you got Lillard and CJ both on max contracts. Now you have Norm there, you know, making 18 a year this year, and that's only going to go up. So there's not a lot of flexibility. And I think you got, you know, more redundant by having a guy like Norm with CJ. Shout out to Norm, because we already said understanding the grind, and Lillard. But I just don't think that, you know, you want to pair Lillard with Simmons as an experiment this late into Lillard's career. And I, you know, I'm also not really like for me, when I look at the Blazers, I don't look at CJ or Lillard as the problem. And I think that I get the idea of you trade CJ for a better fit. I think if it's a sure bet style fit, go for it, maybe. But there's just nothing sure about Ben Simmons. Like, at this point in his career, if you're Portland, how confident could you really be that he would come there and play and give you his all? And there's just too many. Whereas, you know, CJ's doing it. He's you know, getting out there doing work, and I get it. They've lost in the playoffs a bunch of times. They've showed up short, and they're 11 and 14. And, you know, it looks like Billups and Lillard aren't, you know, besties necessarily. But yeah, if the trade's there, do it. I don't think force it. I feel like the Sixers have handled the Ben Simmons thing all wrong.
I agree.
You know, they've overvalued him. And then they've also threw him under the bus and they didn't integrate him back. And I think obviously he's a part of that. But if I'm another franchise, I'm like, no, you want me to take Ben Simmons? I'm doing you a favor. So you give me picks. And I think Daryl Morey is, you know, he's a tough negotiator. So I think he's kind of stuck with Ben Simmons.
Yeah. So sorry, I just want to clarify, because you said you believe in Ben Simmons, but you also think he's a bit of a liability or a huge mm-hmm. risk.
Yeah.
So I guess you're just like, I mean, that the truth is in the middle. Like, he is both. Like, he is
exactly.
He is a good player. I hesitate to say great player, if I'm being honest. I might be a little low on him at the moment, but I just think, like, yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, I am a little more pro. I think the Blazers should make that trade, only because I feel like, you know, they're notorious for not playing defense. And I feel like Ben Simmons is the kind of player where you don't want to have any offensive expectations of him. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want him to defend, set picks, and pass. And what other team could he really do that on and succeed than the Trailblazers? Like, I feel like that team will happily score his points for him. Right. Where other teams, they aren't, even if they, if the individual players are happy scoring more, they're not as gifted offensively to hold that, I guess. So I'm a little more pro, like, if any team is going to make this trade, I think they should go for it. I also think at this point in Lillard's career, I think it is time to take a risk and do something like this. Not that I think CJ McCollum is the problem. Definitely not. I think he's a great player, but I think at this point in his career, why not take a risk? I don't know. I mean, it's 2 years on his contract. Give it 2 years. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a little more like gutsy about it, but I'm very against people trying to trade Damian Lillard now. Like, I think that it has come out of boredom. Yeah. Like, people who are saying like they should blow it up, I'm definitely against that.
Well, and I think that, you know, the West is particularly weak right now. Here's my Ben Simmons trade. Okay. John Wall. You know, you send him to Houston and you say it's a brand new team. You got Jalen Green. It's your team, Ben Simmons. You can, we'll build it around you and we have other talent. And you give John Wall a second chance and you're like, buddy, this is, you know, this is it. You got to run this team. You got to play well. And, you know, you're playing with Embiid. It's not your team, but you have a good situation around you. Wall, in a wild, like, amount of money, it makes quite a bit more than Ben Simmons. He's 44 and Ben Simmons is 33. Mm-hmm. But Wall's contract comes up way before Ben Simmons. So there's that. You know, they're
right.
Like, in that sense, Ben's like, you know, Philly could maybe be like, all right, Houston, you give us a pick because they can salvage that, you know, sort of thing. That's my trade.
I love that, Freddie. And honestly, I frequently forget John Wall exists. So
we all do.
That's on me.
He's on a max.
That's on Houston, because I actually don't think teams should just be like, you know what, you're really good, so therefore, we don't want you to play. Like, I don't think that should be allowed. Like, I if you're going to tell a player we don't want you to play, there should be like another reason other than, hey, we're just looking to tank. Like, I don't know. Like, that really bugs me, because it would up his trade value if he was playing now. No,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I think it gets dicey when, like, you know, clearly they agreed upon something. Like, I think they were like, hey, we'll pay you all the money you're owed, but we don't want to play you. And he's like, great, but, you know, make sure you still pay me, sort of thing. Because I'm wondering what's happening with Kyrie and with Brooklyn. I don't want to, you know, create a whole new topic for you, but yeah, in terms of money, like, are they paying him everything?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Fair. I clearly haven't either.
Sorry. So, I haven't looked into it. I was just like, oh my, like, I'll say this, my little theory about Kyrie, which I haven't gotten into too much on this podcast, is I think if it wasn't the anti-vaxxing thing, it would have been something else. I really think he was looking for a way out.
You I've told so many people your specific wording, which is Kyrie looks like someone who just doesn't enjoy his job anymore.
Yes.
And if you track, you know, his relationship with James and how it ended, it's felt like that the whole time. And I think that makes a lot of sense for Kyrie. Like, he's wildly gifted, but, like, yeah, I don't know, man. He's like some kind of heart surgeon who's like one of the best in the world, but he's just like, listen, I don't enjoy hospitals. And you're like, buddy, we can't build you, you know, your own laboratory. And he's like, hey, well, when you do, let me know. And they're like, well, people need your help. And he's like, I don't care. Basketball is heart surgery, is what I'm saying. And
that's the craziest analogy, but I absolutely love it.
We're all playing Operation, and, you know, Kyrie's the best at it, but he doesn't want to play.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly how I feel. We agree. One thing I wanted to point out was, and you kind of said it, the relationship between Damian Lillard and Chauncey Billups, not great. And I know Chauncey Billups has been calling out Damian Lillard for his lack of enthusiasm, will, want, just overall energy. You know, I think like with Damian Lillard, he's your star player. He's one of the best in the league. You know, he's a top 75 of all time guy. I think you got to sit him down and be like, what do you want? Like if you're this interim GM, his name's Joe something. I forgot. But if you're this interim GM,
I think it's Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden. Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah. President of the United States, but also GM to the Trailblazers on the side. It's a side hustle. And I think you sit down with Damian Lillard and you ask him, what does he want? And then you give it to him. Like, I don't care if he's a spoiled baby because he's your best guy. Like, you kind of have to let him be a spoiled baby. I don't love that. I don't love that in my stars. But you got to ask him, like, what can we do to make this better for you? And then you do it. And then if it still doesn't work, then at least you know that you've done everything you can. Like, I think, you know, Neil O'Shea hiring Chauncey Billups, a coach that Damian Lillard didn't want necessarily, was a mistake. Why not ask him, like, hey, like, are you happy with Chauncey Billups? If you're not, who would you like to replace him? You know, give me a list and let's see what we can do. Cause like, why is your star player having a first year coach that he's not happy with? Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I think you do have to, you know, keep Lillard happy, especially in you know, today's NBA climate. I'm just looking at his, you know, his next couple years, and not to be the, like, you know, hey, you're getting paid a lot, whatever. But Lillard is on a pretty wild max contract. So I feel like you can be like, we're paying you massive amounts of money. So with that, we expect you to kind of continue to bring it and us to continue to improve the team, because I feel like not every star is a LeBron type who's kind of like, hey, or Durant, who's like, hey, not only am I the best player, but I want to GM and engineer this team. I feel like some guys are like, I just want to be great. Can you, like, you know, you do your thing and draft guys that I need, or, you know, fit into the team. You know, again, and looking at this Norm Powell contract, like, it takes up a lot of the flexibility that this team has. Next year, however, they do have like a lot of players coming off the books, so you could make a bit of a play there. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're 140, 141 this year and 110 next year, so they don't have a lot of extra money. You know, Dame, CJ, and Norm is like, that's all the money you got. Sort of, and Larry Nance as well at almost 10. So I don't know if, maybe it's for, you know, you trade CJ for parts, but again, I think Lillard's 31. So you want to bring in ideally someone that can help him pretty quickly. Maybe you take you give Minnesota a call and you say, like, you know, CJ and Norm for Towns. What do you think? You know, something like that.
I like that.
Yeah, I think you do. You try and help Lillard, and I get that CJ is the main kind of like bait there, but it could be other moves too. You could package a bunch of people for someone you like, and yeah, maybe it's bringing him a star or parts. I'm not sure. I think Portland's in a sticky situation, to be honest.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. His name's Joe Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N, Cronin.
Okay.
Cronin.
He's David Cronenberg's son. I don't know why that makes any
interim
sense.
GM, another side hustle.
Side hustle, Canadian filmmaker.
In terms of the Trailblazers, just to wrap that topic up, we don't think they should blow it up at all. That would be so disappointing. Kudos to them for getting rid of Neil O'Shea. And I actually like this John Wall trade better than the CJ McCollum one, even though I've been harping on that for months now. So thanks, Freddie.
Hey, you know, there's stuff out there.
There's stuff out there. Let's move on to the Chicago Bulls, because our DeMar DeRozan, currently he's under health and safety protocols, but prior to that was named Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Did I just make that up? Did it just feel right as a biased Raptors fan? Did it just feel right to call him that? He's just been doing absolutely great. And I feel like he's proving a lot of haters wrong. And well, the entire Chicago Bulls are, because I was honestly personally a little skeptical with this team, because I was just like, I don't see this team playing defense. There's a lot of players who really need the ball a lot, but mm-hmm. they have found a way to make it work, and they've certainly proved me wrong. So I want to know what your thoughts are on the Bulls, and what do you think their ceiling is this year?
Well, I'll say this, you know, just to jump on your point, they've also proven me wrong. I did not have them being this good. I thought they were they'd basically be in like the play-in territory. Or, you know,
yeah, I think I said on your podcast that I predict a Bulls Raptors play-in game.
Right.
And yes. that DeRozan is finally going to learn how to hit a clutch shot. I'm pretty sure I said that. And now it's like, wow, that's obviously not happening. They're definitely in the playoff mix. But anyway.
I don't know if we will be seen on video, but, you know. I got a DeRozan t-shirt framed. So I've always been a DeRozan lover, always been a DeRozan mm-hmm. believer. Always felt like he got scapegoated when he got traded. Mm-hmm. Happy for his success. I do think that he was good in San Antonio as well, but San Antonio is one of those places that like Denver or Utah, whatever. You can be really, really, really good there and people don't care. And it just doesn't matter unless you're absolutely a contender. Right. And I think we've even seen sometimes with Donovan Mitchell, like you can be on a contender. You can be like sometimes near MVP level and people can still not really care. I'm not saying DeRozan is as good as Mitchell, but it's not that far off, but I digress. I think the Bulls.
Yeah, like if DeRozan was on the Jazz instead of Mitchell, like they'd probably have similar numbers.
Yeah, they'd have similar numbers. I think, you know, just I don't know why I keep bringing up new topics, but I feel like Donovan has more, you know, playmaking potential and kind of is more well-rounded player. But I thought, you know, the one ball theory made some sense for the Bulls. I thought they'd be closer to 500. I do think they are playing a little bit above their heads and won't be in the top four when the playoffs start, but I don't think they're a play-in team. They seem like they're like fifth or sixth or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think like a lot of the Eastern Conference teams, they, other than like a Brooklyn or Milwaukee, they have kind of a well-rounded team. So I think they're going to need health. And they've already had some, you know, Caruso is out for a little bit. And I know Patrick Williams, who's a key defender for them, is out for the season. So I think they'll need to have sustained health to be in the top four. But if I had to pick, I'd say they end up in like fifth.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, obviously, it's like it's December and a lot can happen between now and April. But, you know, it's always fun to make these kinds of predictions with certain teams. And I think with the Bulls, me thinking they would be somewhere like eighth, ninth, and now being like, no, I actually think they're like fifth or sixth is really, it's noteworthy. Yeah. And I think also too, like, I didn't really see like Zach LaVine being a leader. And I think when you look at his career, it's incredible that he's grown into a leader. He's been in the league. It's always longer than I feel like it is. Like it's been 10 years? I should have looked this up.
It can't be. I'm looking at him now. He's 26 years old. He's 26 years old. So it has to be
7 years.
7 years is, I think. Yeah, that 7 years makes sense.
I don't know. It feels like 2 years. And then sometimes it feels like forever.
Well, that dunk off he was in with Aaron Gordon, you know, was in Toronto, and that was pre-pandemic. So that just feels like a lifetime ago.
Right. I think that's what it is. And that was 2016. And that was not his first dunk contest.
No, he'd already done one. He had already won one the year before.
So in any case, I just think like nobody predicted this for him. And I just want to, you know, take a moment to celebrate him as an underdog. Really?
Yeah. And let's also, you know, I'm just looking at it now. LaVine and DeRozan. DeRozan 26.4 points a game. LaVine 25.9. Like, that's two people just putting up buckets on the team. And shout out to Vucimane, Nikolai Vucevic, who is like such a good third banana right now. One of my favorite storylines any year is when like a top scorer type player shows up to a team and they kind of like blend in a very efficient way.
Right. I mean, I feel like he was kind of struggling a bit earlier, but am I just making that up? Maybe I am. Maybe, in my mind he was struggling.
His effective field goal percentage is not great. I will say that, but he's still putting up 15 points and 10 rebounds.
So he is
walking a steal.
Like you said, he's doing his third banana thing. Exactly. I guess he's just not at the all-star level, quote unquote, that he was last year. Cause I laugh because him being an all-star was debatable at the time.
Yeah. He's always been one of those, like, you know, I know this is slander towards DeMar, but people always say like Eastern Conference all-stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and maybe do you think he'll be an all-star again?
DeMar, I think, is a really good chance, especially if they're second in the East. It's maybe him and LaVine, right?
Yeah. I feel like they're all gonna be fighting for that which Chicago Bull will be in the All-Star game. That's gonna be a near future narrative.
I love it. DeMar 26-5-4. Like that's all-star numbers.
Yeah. Freddie, I didn't send you this topic, but I want to quickly just rant about Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh,
they had an embarrassing loss this week to the Memphis Grizzlies, 152-79. I was disappointed that the Grizzlies didn't score even more points as the game was happening. I was like, I want the Grizzlies to score the highest amount of points in NBA history. Like, that would just be so funny to me. But in any case, I think it's like one of the greatest like loss differentials, at least in like franchise history or something like that. I'm so sick of Sam Presti's bullshit. Like, I'm so sick of this guy hoarding draft picks. He has enough draft picks at this point that you do not need to tank anymore. Like, why are they still tanking? They have over 30 picks. Like, you can't, like, to me, it just doesn't make sense that they're still in tank mode. Like, haven't they done this enough that they should now be in win mode?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Presti, you know, has proven that he can draft well, but that's basically where it ends for me. I feel like he has kind of gotten lucky with how he's team built. You know, that's not fully fair, but I do think that there's this idea, for me anyways, that got really exposed during the process with Sam Hinkie in Philly, which is that tearing down is remarkably easier than building up. And yes, winning in the NBA is the hardest thing. It is a habit. And I think that there's this logic that you can just move players around and somehow, you know, find this kind of like alchemy of chemistry, as opposed to developing, putting in hard work, making the moves on the margins, kind of sitting with some uncomfortable moments. Like, as a Raptor fan, you know, we watched OKC aggressively tank way harder than us, get worse picks, and, you know, not get Scottie Barnes. Mm-hmm. And then what? They're going to try it again? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I'm Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I want out.
If I'm all those guys, I want out.
Right. Cause it's like, you know, these guys are winners. They're talented players. And I don't know. You're already in Oklahoma. You have an example like San Antonio. That's like, listen, it's not about bottoming out to be good, because unless you have a really, really good foundation, you're not going to be able to build up. Player agents are going to be furious. You know, players are going to want to leave. The culture is going to be bad. The fans are going to suck. It's going to be like a rotating door of coaches. It's just, losing on purpose has, I think, like compounding negative effects. And I think we're seeing that with OKC. You know, I think they're also going to be like Boston, where people know that they have a treasure trove of picks. So when they deal with them, they're going to be like, okay, give me 10 firsts. And Presti's going to be like, oh, well, how about, you know, 3 seconds? And he's going to be like, screw you then. Like, I don't want to deal with you. I know you've been hoarding picks. So where I would ask one team, you know, for 2 picks, I'm going to ask you for 7. And, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of people were talking, draft day deals for the Raptors. And the only things I could think of is you call up OKC and you call up Orlando and you say, you want this more than us. We will give you a absolutely lopsided deal. Give us 1,000,000 picks if you want one of our players. And, you know, they didn't want to do that. And rant over. It's easy to not care, I think, is the end of my rant there. And it's harder to be Indiana and Utah and Miami and Toronto and San Antonio. It's harder to be these franchises that are, you know, intent on finding ways to win, but it is more rewarding and it's way better as a fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say this to add on to everything you said, which I agree with. The thing that, that bothers me about OKC is we know for a fact that even if they do draft 3 generational superstars, they're not going to pay them and they're going to end up trading one away. And then it's like, well, what's the point if you're not even going to pay them? Like, have you suddenly decided that you're going to be a luxury tax team? Like, you're not in a big enough market to even do that. So to build this way still doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, they should be more invested in player development, like you said. With that, let's move on to our Raptors homer moment. So we had a nice little fun viral moment of Scotty Barnes filming Pascal saying hi to his favorite player while watching the 905. So Freddie, my question for you is, if you could say hi to Pascal, what would you say? How would it go?
I would say, I mean, just, I guess a classic, like, how are you? But if it went further than that, I would say, how are you enjoying being in a bilingual country, and have you taken any French vacations?
Oh, what a fun question. Like you're just going to open with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd say, how are you? Cause maybe he'd be like, fine. And then we'd sit in silence and I'd be like, I don't want to, you know, mess with this dude while he's texting people. But you know, if we, if we started chatting and it was like chill, cause I think I always see him get a little bit excited. Serge did this too, when there's French questions. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, tip my own cap. I went to French immersion when I was growing up in Ontario. No worries. You know what I mean? and whatever. My French is at like a grade 2 level. I can't do shit.
Like, I love how you didn't even say that in French. You're just like, no worries. You know what I'm saying?
Let me just say pas de worries. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like that there's a chance that he's taken advantage of that. Like, his brothers are all here. They all speak French. I wonder if they were like, yo, let's go to Tremblant, like rip it up or whatever, or go to like Hull, you know, like I did when I was 17. I'm sure they're like, why would we do that? But I hope that they would, you know, and I'd be curious.
Yeah, well, I feel like Chris Boucher should be leading the way there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we have multiple French speakers on the team. Boucher, you know, Birch maybe even speaks a bit of French. Like, let's party, boys, you know? French people party in this scenario, you know?
Yes, only the French Raptors. That's amazing.
Everyone else is straight-laced.
Yeah, I wonder if Patrick Mutombo speaks French. Maybe you can bring him along.
I don't know. I'm going to...
He just seems so worldly that he would also know several languages.
Well, I'm looking at it now. I think... He's from the Congo. I was going to say, if he's from Nigeria, I think there's a chance, but I'm not sure what they... I'm sure they speak many languages.
Does Serge speak French?
Serge does speak French and he's Spanish.
And he's from the Congo.
Yeah.
Dead silence.
I was going to look up like what languages do they speak in the Republic of Congo, but I'm sure it's, you know, many, many languages. So if you feel like he's French, he's French.
You know, I'm born and raised here and I don't speak French. Like at all. Like I basically borderline failed French every year until I didn't have to take it anymore.
So when me, Pascal, Boucher, and the Siakam brothers go to Quebec City, like with breakaway tours, you're not coming. Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, unless you want to translate for me the whole time. Yeah.
I'd try. Gonna... I mean, I'd want you to come. It'd be fun.
I love breakaway tours. So
we're on, like... It's us and a bunch of 17-year-olds looking to get hammed.
I love this fantasy so much. This is so much better than I thought it would be.
I had a good time at breakaway tours when I was 17. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
I did too. I wasn't 17 though. Maybe I was like 20 or 21. Did the whole New Year's thing in Montreal.
Wait, the whole point of going on breakaway tours is going to a place that you can drink that you normally can't.
Yeah, so but I didn't discover it till later.
Fair enough.
And then what happens is, it's like, even though I'm like 21, I'm like meeting Americans who are like 18, 19.
Right, yeah, because they're doing it right. Because
everyone is that age. So I'm like,
because they're like, why are you here? You're 21? Like,
yeah, making out with guys slightly younger than me.
They're like, yo, I made out with this older chick. She didn't realize that, you know, she could be drinking anywhere.
Oh, God, that was so stupid. All right. moving on. I wanted to ask you about Fred VanVleet. Speaking of all-stars, I wasn't even thinking about having this conversation with DeRozan, but as you're talking, it just seems so obvious. I feel like Fred VanVleet is making a bit of an all-star case for himself. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I think Fred is doing an incredible job. You know, winning is always a part of it. But I think he's the best player on the team. I just had his numbers. Yeah, here we go. So, you know, 20 points a game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, steal and a half. He's just, you know, blistering from three, and his field goal percentage is good. And like, he's the defense too, right? Is if you compare him to former Raptors guards we've had, I think it goes without saying that the only guy who's really on his level is Lowry. And without being disrespectful, I think it's a fair argument to say that Fred is a better defender than Kyle Lowry. And that might seem wild and sacrilegious, and he definitely doesn't take the charges. And Lowry did a million little things. You couldn't back him down, and just, you know, so much. But Fred does a lot of little things too. And you can't dribble on him. He strips the ball. And I think as we're seeing this year, he's also, you know, like what Raptors fans hoped and wanted to happen with the transfer of leadership from Kyle to Fred has. Fred is the leader. There was an amazing moment during, I think, the Bucks game, where, you know, Freddie is getting in everybody's face saying, you know, don't fucking move.
And that was so funny.
Being a leader, like being a full leader, yelling at the fans to get loud. I went to my first game in against Washington the other night. And first of all, it's amazing to be back. Second of all, it was awesome to see a game where other people were showing up and Pascal was having a good game, because you could tell Freddie was like resting, even though he was playing. And it's like, he just is really like a prize fighter right now. And I, when, you know, when your numbers crunch, maybe the scoring's not high enough. I thought the assist would be higher than six, but I guess Scotty is dishing it too, and Pascal, but.
And he's had to score a lot, like probably a lot more than we would even want him to, ideally.
Totally. And I think, you know, I think ideally you have OGs there and
right.
You get a lot of people scoring, and Fred's assists are higher than six a game, and his points maybe are a little bit lower than, you know, 19.8. But the well-rounded play, like I can't think of, you know, I mean, off the top of my head, there's just not many guards in the East better than him. Again, the record's not great. So I think that's a part of it. But he's right there. He was almost there last year.
Yeah, I think also too, like, because, you know, he might not win the fan vote, but in that, you know, who the role player, not role players, but off the bench, all stars, like that gets voted in by the coaches, right? And I feel like coaches love Freddie.
Oh, yeah, because he's such a game manager. Like, he's so good.
Yeah, so from like that standpoint, I feel like he really has a chance. But also, I think as Raptors fans, like it would be fun to really just rally around him this year for that.
Oh, totally.
And I'm all for being an obnoxious fan base, which we already are.
Oh yeah, we gotta lean in. We gotta lean into it. Come on now.
Yeah, like we just gotta double down on it and just like have this be who we are.
Yeah, at no point, like you know, is the American media or whatever, you know, going to be like, hey, let's give a quick shout out to those Raptors fans for being calm and measured. Like yeah. that, you know, toothpaste is out of the tube. Let's be crazy.
That is not who we are, or who I want us to be. Also, Freddie, I just want to check in with you emotionally. How are you feeling as a Raptors fan right now?
I'm feeling great. I think that, you know, It's a tough year as far as like the discourse, you know, it's better than last year, but I think the discourse this year is a little bit, I guess like panicky as far as like wins and losses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that the development arc is just, it's too fun for me. Like I trust in Masai too much, you know, like you said, Scotty being at the G League game, filming Pascal. You know, I watched that G League game and Banton's going off and, you know, David Johnson and Justin Champagne and Flynn, you know, was there. He wasn't doing much, but just seeing all those guys playing and then the rest of the team, Yuta, you know, Pascal, they're all there watching the game. And yeah, I feel like I've said it a million times, but I feel like Masai, one of his main goals in Bobby is to win and develop at the same time. This season might be more in the development camp, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I enjoy watching that development. I'm enjoying Svi, like Precious, you know, makes pretty loud mistakes, but he's still so awesome in my opinion. And I don't know. I think that this year could be a lot like the Brooklyn season where we made the Rudy Gay trade and we got better and better and better as the year went along and kind of made some noise in the playoffs, but lost in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we can be healthy for at least most of the rest of the season, then I think we have a shot. Like we definitely miss OG. I feel like our center position is so vulnerable that we really miss Kem Birch.
Yes, which is wild to say.
Which, and no disrespect to Kem Birch, but that isn't a player we should miss this much.
Yeah. You shouldn't be like, Kem's knee. Oh no. Yeah.
Like, we miss Kem Birch the way the Sixers would miss Joel Embiid. Like, we really miss that guy.
We're like, we need Kem. If we get Kem back, we're going on a title run.
Yeah. He's really, you know, he's holding us back. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I think if we can be healthy for the second half of this season, then I think the playoffs are seriously on the table for us. And, you know, I've been very like, look, this is a rebuild year. Masai said it himself. We should not have playoff expectations for this team. I still feel that way, but there's nothing wrong with having hopes, right? Because I think that's why this year is so fun, is because there is a lot of hope with the development of this team. And, you know, it's kind of like, sure, like, we're not expected to be there. This is rebuilding. We're going to have some weird games. There's going to be mistakes made. But also, if we stumble our way into the playoffs, like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're, you know, I don't want to advise how to enjoy the Raptors, but, you know, for me, I think as long as there's development, you know, it's going to be a fun year. You know, maybe a guy like Kem, Boucher are a little bit older as far, you know, as development, but not even, you know, they're still like 28 and 29. Guys can get better until they're like 32, 33. And we have so many young, interesting players. You know, there might be a trade on the horizon still. I think it's going to be a really fun, active year that, yeah, you know, you might see, for instance, like, Scotty's five best games on a losing streak. Like, I think it's going to be this year where you have to hold multiple feelings at the same time, which is not easy for fans. But I think for all the people who are like, well, we're not going to win, we're not going to win at all. It's like, okay, well then what else do you enjoy about basketball? Like,
right. Right. I completely agree. We got to wrap up this episode. So let's move on to our Hot Girl Summer Nick Nurse highlight of the week. So for anybody new to the show or new to me, I have a huge crush on Nick Nurse. This is a genuine, real crush. People have tried to tell me that, you know, he's really been falling apart over the last few years. I feel like he looks the same. He just wears, he just doesn't wear his fun suits anymore. And it's like RIP, like earlier days of the segment, it used to be like, oh, like, did you see that suit? He looks so good in maroon. Who knew, you know? But now it's just same, you know, polos every day. So now it's more just like fun facts, interesting observations I've made about Nick Nurse over the last week. Last week, he was at Nav Bhatia's super fan documentary premiere with Russell Peters. And when the team was celebrating the, the Giants of Africa, anniversary of Mandela's passing and celebration of that organization, Russell Peters also there. He's been at both. Nick Nurse and Russell Peters have been hanging out. This is what I have to report.
Let me say this. The Washington game I was at, Russell Peters was there.
He was there.
You better believe
Russell it. Peters has been all over the Raptors this week. He's been hanging out with Nick Nurse. They stood side by side during that film premiere. The Raptors Instagram posted photos, not of them together, but them at the same event. I think these two are hanging out.
I think that, you know, when once Nick had the Arkells, now he has Russell, and he's going on tour with Russ for sure.
Maybe he's gonna open for Russell Peters.
It's gonna be Ron Jossel, John Paul,
yeah,
and then Nikki coming
Nick,
in.
Nick
to
Nurse
open
is
up.
Gonna go out there and he's gonna do his favorite accents.
Yeah, Russell
defend everybody.
Russell's gonna be like, Nick, I'm taking you to Dubai. I'm taking you to Indonesia. We're rocking a world tour. And Nick's going to be like, should I bring the guitar? And Russell's going to be like, I guess, you know?
Oh my God. I can't wait. Anyways, that's just been my fun observation about him this week. And that's been our episode. Thanks so much for listening. You can like and rate and review this podcast on Apple or Spotify. Really helps the show. Freddie, where can we find you on the internets?
Check me out on Twitter, FREDDIERIVAS. I'm at dunkspodcast.com is my website for my pod. At Dunks Podcast is also the Twitter. Confederacy of Dunks is the pod. And yeah, you can check me out on Insta as well, Freddie Noel Rivas. And yeah, thanks for having me, Catherine. And congratulations on joining the RR family.
Thanks so much, buddy. Talk soon. Yeah. So happy.